Are you ready for some fun?
Oh, yeah!
This service is brought to you by the Pleasure Club. If you're under 18 and do not wish to be billed, please hang up now.
Who said buying a home should be uptight and boring? It's time for Patty's Playhouse, your local real estate talk show with Patty and Scott.
It's house talk with a happy ending each and every time.
Oh.
Patty's Playhouse with Patty and Scott starts now.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5.
Ready for some fun?
Oh, yeah!
This service is brought to you by the Pleasure Club. If you're under 18 and do not wish to be billed, please hang up now.
Who said buying a home should be uptight and boring? It's time for Patty's Playhouse, your local real estate talk show with Patty and Scott.
It's house talk with a happy ending each and every time.
Oh.
Patty's Playhouse with Patty and Scott starts now.
Working 9 to 5.
I'm
We're back.
Light and bright today. I just got a present from Scott Cowart called Colon Broom.
Everybody should have some.
It's right here.
It's love in a jar. Love in
it
a jar.
It is. I mean, that is love. When your partner thinks of you to help your dietary supplement.
Hey, when something works.
It does. He's like, I thought
you'd
it.
Go for it.
Gifts are always welcome. Colon Broom. I did tell you about the glitter bomb I got in the office, right?
You told me that you received a gift.
I did. Well, I got a couple. One, the first one, so I have a YouTube channel called Patty's Playhouse. I'm trying to be consistent here. It's about crime, and someone was kind enough to send me a gift, and it came to the station. It was a round tube, and I was like, okay.
Anthrax. First thoughts.
Whatever. I mean, I don't even care anymore. So I start to open it. I could feel it was spring-loaded. So I slowed the spring down because I thought, this is literally coming at me. Open it up, and it's confetti that would normally be seen at a bachelorette party. At first, I didn't notice the shape of the confetti. I was just worried about the glitter getting everywhere because I work with Scott Cowart, and I would have to clean it up.
My worst nightmare.
It was a lot of glitter. So it was all in my hand, and I had a trash can right there, so it all went in the trash. And I was on air at the time. I was live. And I was like, oh, isn't that nice? Someone sent me a booby trap. But in this case, it was shaped like spermatozoa. Hmm. And I was like, oh, so sweet. How nice is that? Right? So
I got that. When people think of you, they think of confetti.
Or sperm. Mm. One of the two. And then I got another gift, came to the office. I knew what this was because she told me, but it was potato chips. And it's a special kind. It's a port. They came from Canada. And
friends to the north.
Yeah. Saw St. Marie is the area. And it was called a superstore, was the grocery store. And I'm telling you, those chips were banging. Just they still are because I only had a couple.
Just salted?
No, Portuguese chicken. I have no idea how to describe the flavor of this chip other than amazing.
I wouldn't know how to describe Portuguese chicken.
I don't know, but now I want Portuguese chicken. It Fair. Was really, really, really good.
Interesting.
So they're in the office. So it was very nice of people to even think of me and ship something from out of country to this country. And it's just nice. People are nice. People overall are really nice, even when they send you sperm.
Overall.
Overall.
I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think it was supposed to be like... thought of a sperm, right? I mean,
oh, I think they said on the outside, oh. It'll be a hoot. It'll be a hoot if you could open it on air.
Yes.
So I did, but I opened the box of chips on air as well. So it's just been very
it's nothing
nice experience.
Like sperm and chips.
It's a very nice experience. You know what I've been doing lately on
what?
The YouTube? Because you don't watch me.
No, I do not.
I have been reading the transcript of jury selection for Charlie Adelson.
Interesting.
I had never read one, nor have I read this. I'm reading it fresh, like everyone else is reading along with me. It's scrolling like a monitor would, and I have it scrolling, and I'm reading it flat.
Like, is there anything, I mean, I was there during the federal trial that I was part of and was selected, but...
It's such a civic lesson.
But it literally, I mean, is it any different than the judge asking questions and then you've got the attorneys that are asking sub-questions to questions?
But did they do that in front of everyone when you had it? They don't do this in the front of everyone.
They did. And well, yes, they do it. They're letting people go along the way. So in the selection process, not everybody stays the entire time. So there are certain people, based on whatever your answers to certain questions are, they let you go. And then as you are getting closer and closer, you're just narrowed down to, I want to say, maybe there was 30 of us. In mine, there were 12 jurors. So there were 12 of us selected, but it just narrows down along the way. But there was nothing that wasn't asked in front of everyone. I was never brought anywhere else to be spoke to or about anything.
My experience being on a jury panel or prospective jury was exactly the same way. That's when I was asked in the last one, and I was actually next to attorney, I think it's Rambana, who does the immigration. He's in immigration. I knew he was going to be gone, but that's when they asked me, would anyone give up their driver's license for $10,000? And I raised my hand. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you would? And I'm like, yeah. Well, they're like, you're out.
I can go get another one.
I can go get a driver. I can go fly.
More,
I can do a lot
more
of things.
Information for that question, number one.
Of course I would. I was the only one who raised my hand, but it was still funny. So this is very different.
Interesting.
So the judge, they're all down in the jury assembly. So there's multiple trials being picked. So they don't know which trial they're being picked for.
Right.
And then there's 100 of them. So they brought them in 50 at a time. And this was last November for Charlie Adelson, who is now convicted life without parole for the murder of Dan Markell, which was last July, 2014.
Right.
So it was a 9-year stint till he was arrested and convicted. And they bring them in 50 at a time. So then they sit in the courtroom, which at this point is 3G. And then they bring them in. The judge goes down and says, hey, I'm going to talk to you about 5 questions. What do you know about this trial? Can you be impartial? Can you, those questions. Very simple. Then they bring them individually into the jury room, which is behind where the jury panel would sit.
Okay.
So in this jury room is Judge Everett, is Georgia Kappelman.
Mm-hmm.
Dugans, her partner, is out in the courtroom. You have Daniel Rashbaum. And then you have this million-dollar jury selection guy who was just... He got $1 million. Josh Dubins from the defense. Okay. So the defense hired a consultant. Remember OJ?
No, they not had only the jury. OJ, I remember Oprah and the Texas
the hamburger.
That's how she met Phil.
Right.
Dr. Phil was that person.
Their jury consultant.
Right.
So you would think $1 million, you'd have some sort of intellectual capability.
Sure.
It wasn't like
you better
that.
Have a lot for $1 million.
He did have a team of 5 that were out there looking up the social media of every person. What I was surprised with, and I've only read 442 pages of the 800 pages so far, and I'm reading it to the people who are joining in on the live or reading afterwards.
Right.
I was surprised they didn't send out a survey to a select few jury prospective jurors and ask them, are you related to law enforcement? Do you have a problem with conviction? Do you have any of those questions? They don't.
No, I mean, I'm not aware that they do.
They do in some other states because I watch a lot of trials. But in this case, they didn't. They didn't send out a massive survey. With my daughter, she got a federal and she has a survey. She got a survey, but she doesn't live here. So I keep having to like reject it, tell them she doesn't live here anymore. She's a citizen, a resident of another state.
Mine did come with a survey as well, the federal one, but it wasn't real in depth. It was pretty superficial.
So they ask the question. So now they go into the jury room and they have a jury number and they're going through it. So remember when, if you don't remember last year, Dr. Jackson, who Jackson Properties,
right,
Irwin, he's on there. So he gets called back. Do you know anything about the case? Tell me what you know. And Kappelman the whole time. Do you have any further questions, Your Honor? No, sir. She asked like twice, two people and like 100 people, another question. And I think it was kind of rehabilitate that they knew something about the event, the murder,
right,
shot between your eyes in your garage, right, on Trescott. And so Dr. Jackson's up. And then all of a sudden, Josh Dubins, this jury consultant, starts literally attacking him. You wrote social media. Do you remember? No. He's like, this way, you wrote social media in 2019.
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember? No. And he goes, well, here it is. And okay. Then Irwin sat next to me during the trial, and he's like, Patty, how did they find this out? How did they know? So I showed him how you could search on your Facebook for past thing, and your Facebook's open, so they could search. But it was nothing. It was nothing to be that attacked like. But I think he felt the need to attack him because Irwin Jackson's very vocal about the government and vocal about. And he was like, he didn't say he was lying, but he kind of implied it. He's like, I have multiple businesses, like 500 properties. I have more to do than worry about what I said in 2019.
For real?
I mean, he's pretty honest about it. So he was on it. Then Gary Bartlett, the broker, was on it.
Really?
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
And I'll get with that in a little bit. So stick with us, Patty and Scott, 850-656-0009.
We'll be right back with more from Patty's Playhouse, sponsored by Tallahassee Lighting and Decor. Visit tallylighting.com today.
Get excited about your home design with Tallahassee Lighting and Decor, where you can discover an incredible selection of lighting fixtures, exceptional furniture, and unique decor for any style and any home. At Tallahassee Lighting and Decor, you'll get the chance to consult with one of our design representatives to curate the perfect space to fit your home and lifestyle. Visit Tallahassee Lighting and Decor today. Proud sponsor of Patty's Playhouse, Saturdays at 11 a.m. on Real Talk 93.3. Find out more at tallylighting.com. That's tallylighting.com.
She's Patty Wilson. He's Scott Cowart. It's Patty's Playhouse on Real Talk 93.3.
Some call me the gangster of love.
Welcome back, Patty and Scott. We're talking about the civic lesson I learned about jury selection. And I just added our podcast to Patreon. Because I learned how to do it this week.
What does that mean?
Patreon?
Yeah.
It's a portal. And people can subscribe and pay for like special membership stuff. I don't know. I don't pay for anybody's subscription. Ours is free.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go on Patreon and it's Patty's Playhouse, same thing, and listen to our shows. And it's all going
to
be there.
So why would one go to Patreon?
Because they might listen to other podcasts there, just like SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher.
So it's just another platform.
It is. You can do video. You can do audio.
Ah.
It's very nice. You can just write a post. You can just stay engaged with your membership.
As I would.
As you would. So we have our podcast on a cast, and they were like, well, we're not paying you if you have it on Patreon. And I was like, well, then screw you. I'm just going to go to Patreon anyway. Because most YouTubers have Patreon. And I was like, well, then to be, do, have. You got to be like them. You got to do what they do to have what they have.
Is that a way for them to do it without paying? Like,
well, it's
YouTube?
A way to get paid. I just don't feel like I'm big enough to ask for other people's money yet.
You got to start small.
You got to start small is big.
Right. That's the truth.
So it's free. And it's free on every other platform. So why would I charge somebody to come to Patreon? It doesn't make any sense. But it's just to spread, you know, spread the news of Patty's Playhouse.
I'm still trying to figure out the answer to that little riddle, because when you look at all of the things that you can stream these days.
Yes.
Some things you can, like if you've got Netflix, Prime, Hulu, all, some of them are free on certain ones and not free on other ones. So if you run across it, then you got to check the other 12 platforms to make sure that you're not getting it free somewhere else.
Pretty soon, someone's going to have an app to control
that. There will be.
Called Network Television. Remember that?
It's
for the channel, Patty.
It's really a lot of work.
So things that I learned with Judge Everett in this jury selection.
Yes.
Everyone was asked about the media. Do you watch? The only two Everett ever mentioned was WTXL, WCTV, and the Democrat. And I'm thinking, what happened to Fox and NBC?
I was about to say, this was everywhere.
What happened to those two poor stations?
I don't understand.
They never got.
But those were only local.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to know, because it was local. Because that day, the Democrat had a huge part.
It was local that it happened, but after that, it was everywhere.
Yeah. And that's why they had to ask, because it'd been 9 years. A couple people, it was hilarious to me. I mean, I'm reading this
like
dry.
It was a freaking Dateline.
That's what they said,
really
Dateline
was.
In 2020.
Like,
but I'm reading this, like, I'm going to read, like, let me read a comment. This is how I'm reading it. I'll read about Lori Page.
Okay.
Dear Lori, if you're out there somewhere. Like, I just read straight, no inflection, just straight. Because people are so funny when they respond to a question. They're like, yeah, uh-huh, okay, uh-huh, nowhere. And to me, that's hilarious. To read how people actually speak, it reminded me of Jesse Jackson and Green Eggs and Ham on SNL. Eggs and Ham, said Sam, I am, just flat. So that's how I've been reading the last 442 pages. So anyway, who comes in? Gary Bartlett. Gary Bartlett used to be on WCTV. Little did I know, up until 05, because it was right when I started out in real estate and I didn't watch local news, still don't. And he about listed the affidavit. And he said, I happen to, our families are friends with the deceased. So he was not selected. There were a lot of people not selected because they clearly said, do you believe he's guilty? Yes. It was flat. And what was fascinating was to watch then the whole trial. So I'm going in reverse. You have watched the whole trial. I was there. And then you go back and listen to jury selection. So everyone who walked in was like, guilty, guilty, guilty. I can be impartial. Guilty, guilty. I can't be there because I have mucousy stools. That was an excuse.
Awesome.
Guilty, guilty. My poor brother has brain cancer. I'm out. I'm like, I'm just not staying. Guilty, guilty. I have a food truck. So that's kind of how it was. So even the people that thought they knew nothing about it often had budgetary issues, had a business, had to travel for business, and they released them. But it was so interesting how at the end of that jury selection, Josh Dubin is now going, Your Honor, when is the general voir dire again? So they take them all out. So they have their 100 and they've knocked it down to 21. And I'm not there yet in the transcript, but they're going to put them in a room again and ask them more questions. Are you related to law enforcement? Do you have anybody in corrections? Do you know any of the witnesses? So that's when they present the witness list to the prospective jurors. Do you know the judge? One lady knew the judge from Publix. She fixes his subs, but she got released for another reason. So it just goes on. And I was like, that's fascinating that they go through all that. And then they ask you, are you related to law enforcement? Do you know the witnesses? Do you? I thought that was kind of in reverse.
I'm interested in the whole idea of when they're asking these questions in particular. I may know somebody's face, but not know their name. So I'm wondering, do they give them a picture with the name of those that are going to be witnesses?
Nope, just a list.
Because I would answer it honestly, but I may not know, you know, that this
then
person...
Then you don't know them close enough for that to be an issue, probably.
I mean, no. I mean, some people I know that close that I just can't remember their names.
Well,
honestly,
I've read that witness list and I knew quite a few people on there, but they never brought them in. They just subpoenaed them.
I think you could also know someone's name and not know that that's the same person.
Yeah.
So it seems like a lot to me in regards to that. And what's the right answer to, do you think they're guilty in order to be chosen for this? Is it, I don't know.
Can you be impartial? No.
But do you think he's guilty is a completely different question.
Yeah, that's
question.
How they asked it.
And if the question
is... Do you have any opinion about his guilt or innocence is the question that Judge Everett asked. And they said yes. And they said, can you describe? And they said, yes, guilty. It's just hilarious. But my point is, like, so you get through all that. You get to your 21. You have your 21 sitting here. And then you ask those general questions, but you have your 21. And at the end of, and I'm just talking about the defense, Georgia knew she was, I'm good. I have my ducks in a row. I'm good. And the defense is like, yeah, we got this. We have 5 African-American women on there. They're more likely to judge innocent. That's Adelson's opinion. At the end, he had recorded phone calls in the jail where he states as much. Mm. So that's where I'm getting that information. And he's like, yeah, we're in. I'm good. This was a great day. Who sat there across from the naughty chair and says, dude, you're hitting it? Because at the end, also Charlie said, Daniel Rashbaum, his attorney, and now his mother's attorney, right? She's doing both, which also is just ridiculous. His mother's attorney's like, he gave me a 96. He gave me a 96 on my testimony. How could you honestly, Daniel Rashbaum, stand there and tell this man, you got a 96 on your testimony. You just nailed it out of the park. Meanwhile, more than half.
This is what he said to Charlie?
Yeah, he told him he had a 96 on his testimony.
Well, he clearly wasn't watching.
But the people, then think about it. So the 21 they got, most of them really had not, at least they stated, had never heard about this case. Even though Josh Dubins, the juror consultant, said, you'd have to, scientifically, that's impossible. But they were like, now it's a new age, right? People stream more. They don't watch the news all the time.
No, I mean, and honestly, my husband could watch a Snapped episode and the next day not remember it. So there are times when they probably have.
You both have issues on your memory, right, don't you?
We do. Mine is just really good and his is suspect. But there, I think that you could know something about it. And to ask the question, do you have an opinion on, I don't know many people, whether or not it's good or bad, I'd have an opinion.
Right. I mean, so they say it.
Yeah.
And they're happy to give their opinion. One lady was very nervous about giving her opinion. So they had to kind of coax her. But she, in the end, said, I think he's guilty. I really do. He had to be involved. One lady was hilarious. To me, she was my favorite. I have to go. I think her last name was Jackson, which there were several of them. And she says, he wouldn't be sitting here if he didn't have involvement.
At least some.
I'm like, how at the end can you be like, damn. Charlie, you're killing it.
That's what makes me wonder about most people who sit around and are making the decisions on what they're going to call the next springtime Tallahassee. Like, I don't know. Like, were you at that table? It makes you really wonder. Like,
I asked.
Like, how does it happen?
I asked the organizer for the bike fest. I was like, do you have a theme? She's like, no. I was like, okay, just checking. I just want to be in the
honesty
theme
is
when
the
I'm
best
bartender.
Policy. Right, I mean. Honesty is the best.
It's the rally at Tally. I was like, that makes sense. But the whole thing has been an excellent civics lesson of how juries are picked and how to get out. Just say he's guilty.
Yeah, I mean, that is one way.
Stick with us. Patty and Scott, 850-656-0009.
Patty and Scott will be right back after this short break. So take a minute and check out our sponsor, Tallahassee Lighting and Decor. Visit tallylighting.com.
Get excited about your home design with Tallahassee Lighting and Decor, where you can discover an incredible selection of lighting fixtures, exceptional furniture, and unique decor for any style and any home. At Tallahassee Lighting and Decor, you'll get the chance to consult with one of our design representatives to curate the perfect space to fit your home and lifestyle. Visit Tallahassee Lighting and Decor today, proud sponsor of Patty's Playhouse, Saturdays at 11 a.m. on Real Talk 93.3. Find out more at tallylighting.com. That's tallylighting.com.
She's Patty Wilson. He's Scott Cowart. It's Patty's Playhouse on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back, Patty and Scott. And I was just informed we were talking about the trial transcript for jury selection.
Right.
For the Charlie Adelson trial. And one of our subscribers on YouTube and a trial watcher said the defense tried to send out a survey, but the judge denied the request.
Oh, that's interesting to know. Mm-hmm. So I guess you can and...
And they did deny it. Well, I think it was, there was a case, I don't know if it was Idaho or the Richard Allen case in Delphi, Indiana, where they did send out a survey without the judge's permission. I
mean, do they say why it was?
No, it just said he denied it.
Interesting.
Like, I was interested in that case when Wendy had an invitation to the bar, fill the bar party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she said she bought the bullet bourbon, which was really bullet rye. It wasn't bullet bourbon. It was
the
green label at the ABC on Thomasville. And they denied the request to have that moved as evidence. The defense wanted it submitted because it was electronic and it could have been altered.
Mm.
So he didn't allow that. But I was like, I want to see it. I just wanted to see it.
Fair enough.
But it's very interesting. And I think... if you haven't been to a trial, I mean, go to a short one. Just go. Because a lot of these jurors did not know the decorum. They didn't know the etiquette. They didn't know you don't talk about things in the jury room. They're just things they didn't know.
Did they get to go home every night?
Yeah, unfortunately. I think they should have been sequestered.
Yeah, I would have thought so, too. But, I mean, we got to go home every night. But,
he told them up front you would not be sequestered. I think there's the expense of it. And I think if you really said you never saw anything, you know, the justice system trusts the jurors.
I think it should, for the most part.
And in the end, even if they only sequestered them during the deliberations, it was 2 hours.
Hmm.
There was nothing to. They could have like said, yeah, you're going to sequester now, but they were gone there for 2 hours. I mean, it was literally 2 hours.
Yeah,
two.
Mine wasn't that deep where anybody was going.
So for all those people who said they really had never heard about the Adelson trial.
And they probably still
did. And the majority of that juror set said they had not. To be, okay, 12 plus three alternates, and they hadn't heard about it, and now you're guilty in 2 hours, you're pretty darn guilty.
Yeah.
The only reason this transcript is available is for his appeal.
Ah.
So that's why, because
that
they need that
well.
For the appeal. Oh, he'll lose. Siegfried lost. Meg Bana was losing. I mean, you're going to lose.
She's the biggest loser in all of this.
She's the biggest idiot in all of this. I think she's much deeper in this than she implied.
I mean, but she had the opportunity to just fess up and call it a day.
But then she would have had to tell the truth.
Well.
And I just think she isn't capable of telling the truth.
Well, I think everybody is capable. I think, honestly, she is under some type of illusion that he himself was not going to be convicted, which it just goes to the stupidity of all of it, that when you're doing something like this, that you must be sitting back in some silo going, we got this once again. Like,
that's what
no one will know.
You got it. 96.
No one will know. And so she, instead of, you know, not spending the rest of her life in prison, which she had the opportunity to, she decided that she was going to still roll with that, which is just idiotic.
It was very interesting that this Josh Dubins, who's a $1 million jury consultant, when it was his turn to ask the questions, Everett says, State, do you have any other questions? Kappelman, no, Your Honor. Defense, Dubins speaks up. He only introduced himself to certain people. He didn't say, hey, my name is Josh. I represent Mr. Adelson. He only said that to about six people. Instead of saying it to everybody. And I found that fascinating. I don't know what the jurors looked like. I don't know how they behaved. I know he tried to be very patronizing. You could tell he was talking to an African-American person. And he was like, I dig that. Mm. Who comes up with that?
Nah.
Or, that's cool. Hey, you're cool. Why would you say that?
That makes
very
sense.
Patronizing, $1 million.
That
bucks.
Is. That is.
It was weird.
For sure.
But why only introduce yourself to two people or six people? He didn't introduce himself to everyone.
Yeah, when they did the one that I ended up on, they introduced themselves once to everyone and as they were asking questions. But I think I told you, I kept getting looks from the defense attorney where I was like, okay, that's weird. Like, like, they're sizing you up. And I was like, what, like, what's going on? Like, what? So I felt like I was going to get chosen because, like, you have all these people around you, but you feel like they're looking directly at you. So I don't know if it is that same type of thing, but where you're introducing yourself because you're trying to bring them in or not.
It's fascinating. I think how, and I've always thought, even in real estate, the segue, in real estate, how people make decisions has always fascinated me.
For sure.
I don't want this, this, and this in a house, and what do they buy? That. This, this, and this.
Right.
And it's just always been, how do you make decisions? How do you choose which brokerage you're going to work at? Mm. How do you choose which home you're going to live? How do you choose which part of town? What is your motivation factor? Is it really kids' schools or is it money? Because you'll learn it's the money, not the kids' schools, because in the end, you have to live where you can afford.
Correct.
But people will tell you up front, it's the children's school.
Well, I think everybody wants what they want.
They want the best.
Until they figure out what they can afford, mm-hmm. truthfully.
So, but that's why you kind of have to listen to it, but realize in every sales situation, consulting situation, there's always an underlying.
Sure.
And in Dubin's, there was an underlying. Why are you only saying this to certain people, not to everybody? Why are you saying, I can dig it? To certain people, because you're a patronizing fool. That's why.
Yeah, that just doesn't sound good.
Now, you're towards the end, and you're like, Judge, when's this over? Because he was the, and the, I felt, and I said it on live, he was the smartest person other than Everett and Kappelman, because he was like, I'm out of here. Y'all are on your own. I'm not sitting with this sinking ship. I did my time. I got my million.
I mean, yeah, and I don't, that's just, that would be a hard role to play, but I do think that I thought was interesting when I realized that Dr. Phil was who did this mm-hmm. for Oprah. I think that it is more psychological and in nature than just being
how they make decisions.
Well, yeah. Well, he's a lawyer and a psychologist,
right.
Which I think is helpful in terms of being able to evaluate people as best you can with very little Q&A, if you will.
Well, remember with OJ, because that's the one that sticks out in my mind, that blonde woman
yeah.
was the jury. She sat through the whole trial.
Yeah.
She didn't just sit through the jury selection. She was behind the defense's table the entire trial.
Well, I would be, too, from the perspective of one thing. It's like, how do you know your craft if you're not watching what you just did? So even it, regardless of where I was sitting, what I was doing, I would want to know how I better myself or what I just did.
Feedback.
Right. I mean, instead of just, you know, one and done.
And I think feedback is so important that people don't get it. And in real estate, some agents give feedback. Some agents don't. I think some agents don't because, A, they don't want to be, there's two. They don't want to be bothered. And second, they're afraid to tell you the truth. There's an actual fear involved of hurting the agent's feelings. Well, the agent that is listing the house doesn't own the house. More cases out of not, they need to know so that they can translate it to the seller. I gave recent feedback, and what I've learned to do is say, I tell the truth, and then at the end I've been putting, I put it like this to you so that you can turn around and tell it a seller a nicer way.
Fair.
So that I'm kind of mitigating my bluntness with saying, now you can turn around and say it to someone else. Because I'm just going to give you a list of bullet points, which sounds really short and kind of to the point, and some people don't take that well. But at the end, that's how I write it.
That's fair.
And I just think feedback's so important. Someone said on YouTube, again, I have an overlay, so my image is there, and I have an overlay with Patty's Playhouse and like a microphone, kind of like our logo. And the guy said, can you remove the red line? Well, thank you for telling me that. Mm. You know, if it's blocking the other comments because you highlight comments as people are making them, thank you. I appreciate feedback. I certainly don't take it personally. So it's, I think other agents over a period of time, not when you first start out, but over a period of time, you learn to hopefully accept that feedback and alter or choose not to alter. Some things,
some things can't be altered, and that's okay.
I don't like the sofa. Is not something that you're going to consider only because you're not buying your house again.
Right. And, you know, I get feedback even when I don't want it, when I'm styling a house. I mean, it's okay. It doesn't mean I'm going to do anything with it or not do anything with it. It just means it's feedback. So I do take it into consideration. Some become funny and some become real where I've done something with it. It just depends on what it is. So you can't not getting it would certainly alleviate the concern if you were a sensitive individual. But what it doesn't do is help manifest a better situation, in my opinion, meaning whether you need to do something or not.
I've got feedback. Patty, why do you always show the shaved side of your head?
You
I
like
have no
better.
Idea, but it's just what I do. But it's great feedback for me to be a cognizant of that.
But you know you like that side of
I
your
I do
head.
Like the side of my head. 850-656-0009. Patty and Scott, The Brokerage.
We'll be right back with more from Patty's Playhouse, sponsored by Tallahassee Lighting and Decor. Visit tallylighting.com today.
Get excited about your home design with Tallahassee Lighting and Decor, where you can discover an incredible selection of lighting fixtures, exceptional furniture, and unique decor for any style and any home. At Tallahassee Lighting and Decor, you'll get the chance to consult with one of our design representatives to curate the perfect space to fit your home and lifestyle. Visit Tallahassee Lighting and Decor today. Proud sponsor of Patty's Playhouse, Saturdays at 11 a.m. on Real Talk 93.3. Find out more at tallylighting.com. That's tallylighting.com.
It's House Talk with a happy ending. You love it, and we can see it all over your face. Welcome back to the best real estate radio show on earth. It's Patty's Playhouse with Patty and Scott.
Welcome back. If you don't think you're the best on earth, then you have a problem.
That's the truth.
You gotta think you're the best at whatever you do, even if you're not. I mean, you do. You got to have some self-confidence.
It's the capital to which you're hitting the world with.
Right.
I think that's a lot of what happens in relationships is that people don't realize the capital they have.
No. So, segue.
Yes.
Real estate from what I said about making decisions.
Yes.
Recently, you know, a girl came to me, listens to the show, loves the show, bless her heart, about maybe joining the brokerage. And now, you know, she's not sure, which makes it's perfectly fine. I'm not disparaging that at all. It's just how do people make a decision to stay or go from any office? I think a lot of people take real estate or the real estate. You're not an employee, but I think they still think they're an employee. If they've been an employee, I think it's really hard for a lot of people to break out of that employee mentality and know that you're a business owner.
True.
I was an employee before I became a realtor. I was a nurse. So once you have that employee feeling and you're working for someone, you have the same type of mentality that I was loyal to the hospital, that I'm going to be loyal to this office, instead of thinking you are a business owner. And if you're not getting the direction or the coaching or the mentorship that you didn't get for whatever how many years that is, how does that change today and think you're going to get it tomorrow when you didn't get it for 3 years or 4 years or whatever that number is?
I mean, that I get all of that, but some of it is also just about fit. But there are a lot of people who have been employees that the fit for them becomes secondary. Like they're willing to sustain where they are in lieu of other things, even though they know that the fit is not right. You could be working for a stock firm and mm-hmm. go from Merrill Lynch over, you know, to Chase or something to that extent. But they won't move even though the fit is wrong because they get comfortable where they are.
What do you mean by the fit?
Meaning the fit. I'll just use my own personal. I knew of Keller Williams and had heard, and so I heard about training, and so I went there, and that's where we met each other, and thank God I did what I did in order for us to meet. But the truth of the matter is I never felt like the fit was right. I was in my mid-40s and had been around the block, and I'm not interested in being anywhere where the fit doesn't really.
Was it a comfort thing? Was it emotional? Was it logical?
But I'm okay being uncomfortable. See, even if I was uncomfortable, if the fit was right, I would be okay. The fit wasn't right because I felt like there was a lot of talk and no action. I felt like there was a lot of, you know, hype around being almost like a cheerleader type mm-hmm. aspect versus I don't need all of that. So the fit for me isn't that.
Well, that's
so,
good because so you didn't get it with
no,
it.
And I'm not the type that needs that. But if you need that, then the fit would be great for you.
You would
and
feel
so,
it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not right for some people. I just knew immediately it wasn't right for me. So whether or not it was interesting because you were, you know, a few months later choosing to leave, and I was like, mm-hmm. I'm out, I'm ready to go, like any old minute now. So
you picked like, Patty,
right? So for me, it's not. It wasn't that deep, but the fit needs to feel like, even if maybe you're not getting everything you need, are you getting the majority of you need, or do you feel like you fit in to that mold? And I think a lot of people are willing to continue that because there is a comfort level there. They know what they're doing. They know the people that are involved. And sometimes people are told what, you know, I learned a long time ago because I've managed, you know, a number of people prior to becoming a realtor and working Fortune 500 companies, and then 400 or 500 people working for me. The reality is that when those people decide to leave, and you can save them once, and often not even then, it's that they've already made a decision that it's just going to take some time for it to eventually become a reality. So a lot of people need to be saved all the time, and that's just not a thing for me. And it usually doesn't work for environments. So if they're in a brokerage and they were looking for something different, there was a reason for that. And maybe they were talked to by their manager or whatnot, mm-hmm. and given the kumbaya and look at everything. And so you start to question yourself and you stay. Eventually you'll end up leaving. That's my belief. I think that people usually know they're ready to move on. It's the same thing with relationships and why people are having affairs and whatnot. It's like they know they've moved on, and yet
in their head they've already left. They just haven't physically done it.
But they just haven't executed it. And there's an uncomfortability with that.
Well, there's that, the word, which I was trying to think, thank you for saying that, was execution. So when you're in an office that doesn't fit, or you hear a lot of hoopla about coaching, but there is some, you have to buy into it. Sometimes you have to pay for a coach to get that one-on-one, because when you're in an office of 200, which when I was at Keller Williams, it wasn't that. And then it became that. And that's when I was out, because you took my parking. So I'm out. Mm. But when you, until you buy into, okay, I have the overview, but now what about me? How can I help me?
Correct.
How can I apply what you're saying? How is someone going to tell me that what I just said, feedback, what I just said to this client was right, wrong, or indifferent? Why didn't I get them to sign? Until you have that person that isn't willing to sign with you and you can break it apart, feedback, how do I do that? How can I take this apart and go on beyond that? And so when I was a bartender at the Tallahassee Bike Fest, Rally at Tally, I said to another girl, I said, I hope they ask for feedback, you know, about the number of beers that were available, about the wines, about how many people need to be behind the bar, because I think it's so important. So, because you're going to grow. Obviously, the Bike Fest has grown. It's going to grow next year. How can you grow with it? Or how can we keep the beer moving? Because we had a great system going. So how can we apply that system to keep no lines? I mean, it was moving and moving and moving. Well, part of it was, I was like, buy two beers. Because you don't want to come back into a line. Mm. They're like, sure. So they bought two beers. So how can you, like, how does that work? Who was going to sit there and tell you, hey, your inflection in this word sounded like you weren't sure, going back to Judge Everett. Mm. That sounded equivocal. I need something more firm. So the judge gave them feedback about their answer, because a lot of times it was, uh-huh. Uh-huh. What are you going to work with? You cannot work with, uh-huh. I need a yes or no. This is court. Well, in a real estate, if you're telling the seller that you can sell that house for this amount, you better be firm about it. Not, uh-huh, okay, I know, sure. That's not what the court wants, that's not what your seller wants.
That's fair. I think a lot of people in life, they live in the land of ambivalence. I think the reason why I'm okay with feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, is because I don't like ambivalence. I would rather be told one way or another. It gives me something I can do something with.
Mm-hmm. That's my point.
You know, do you love the house? Well, it's nice, and you know, and they want to go back and see it 12 times, but you already know that it's not the right fit for them.
You're either afraid to tell us,
or you can't, or
you're afraid to tell your partner. Sometimes your partner likes it more than you, or you're hoping something else better comes along.
Correct.
And it hasn't. So now what are you going to do? And rates are going to go up. Right. So what are you going to do? Are you going to settle? Or are you going to move forward? But until you get that, I just had a past client. I love them so much. You met them recently. I mean, we've worked with them numerous times. And she told me that I was new when I did it. That you said to Patty, it's this or this. And I told her, you're running out of options. Mm-hmm. We've had a blast together. It's this house. It fits every checkbox. Has the checks moved? Has the checks moved? She said, no. Okay, then this is the house you're buying. And then until we got to that point, but I had to have enough rapport, she had to feel I was trustworthy and capable to be able to sit to her and tell her, look, this is the house. You just haven't met it yet.
Right.
You got to come to that decision. And then the family was around her. It was a great situation. And the family was like, Mom, this is the house. And then she was like, okay. And they loved it. And then you come in when they get ready to sell it. You made them more money. It was the highest one in the neighborhood. And they were so happy. But it had to get trustworthy, capable, and firm. Not equivocal. Can we be ambivalent about a house? Or do we need to be more firm about a house? And that's why I was listening to that judge. And I was like, ooh, that. First of all, you're the authority of the robes, which is fantastic. But to say, no, I understand you're unsure. And you might be a little embarrassed because the guilty guy's sitting over here.
Right.
But where do you really feel on the line? It's very important to him. So it's important to this guy that you tell the truth. So even in a home sale, segue, it's important to your future that you know which house you want. It's not hurting me. I don't want you to lose the house that you really think is for you or not for you. Decide.
Truth.
Was that a good segue? I worked that out very well.
Everything ties back to real estate.
Everything ties back to real estate. You know why? Because it's House Talk with a happy ending.
Every time.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being on Facebook. Thanks for watching YouTube. It's 850-656-0009. Patty and Scott. I was a needle in a haystack. Oh, howdy boy. Plus way back. I got a feeling it's a wrap. ASAP. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah.